You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Job, and we're going to read together chapter 8, verse 1 through 7. Verse 7 is going to be our text today. Normally I don't do just a verse, but today there'll just be one verse that I look at with you. Job chapter 8, verse 1 through 7. Let's remain seated and let's read it together, beginning in verse 1, then answer Bildad. Let's read it together. Chapter 8, verse number 1. Ready? Begin.
Then answered Bildad, Shuhite, and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like strong men? Doth God prefer judgment, or doth the Almighty prefer justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he hath passed away from their transgression, if thou wouldst seek unto God for times, and make thyself patient to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would lay for thee, and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase."
Let's bow for prayer, please. Our Father, I'm so very thankful for the privilege to preach your word. I think of this verse 7, what a powerful verse. Bildad was using it to criticize the man Job. But it's a true verse. He started out small. Oh, but at the end he had so much. Help us to see the text today. Make it come alive to us is my prayer. For I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I am watching, so are many of you, though you're not seen in our church so much, I see it as I travel the country. I've been all over the country this year. The first 13 weeks, and I fly most of the time to the East Coast every Monday morning. I'm back by Wednesday. I see it everywhere I go. I'll ask the pastor, now last year, and there's always pastors at these meetings, I saw Brother So-and-so, but Brother So-and-so is not here this year. Is he got something going on? He goes, "You didn't hear, Brother Treiber?" I said, "No." And it's always in their 20s and 30s. We have a generation of 20 and 30-year-olds that are throwing their lives away. And I say, "Where is he?" He said he quit the ministry. He just quit. Brother Whitlow, you're traveling the country. You see it everywhere you go. He just quit the ministry. You can't quit the ministry. Either you're called to the ministry or you're not called. And if you're called, you got to stick through those, Spurgeon said, you stick through those times of depression and fits of depression. You have to stay.
Amen.
You have to work it out. Bildad was raised up because Job, in Job 1 through 42, is experiencing a one-year pressure on his life. In that year, chapter 1, he lost all 10 of his married children. All 10 of them died. He lost all of his cattle, all of his sheep, all of his oxen, all of his maidservants, all of his, everybody. He lost everything. Then his health in chapter 2 broke, and he's there with a potsherd, a piece of hard clay that's broken, and he's scratching himself. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He lost everybody, his wife, his children, everybody, and his friends. His three friends here, they remain silent, and now they're starting to talk. And they talk, and they say to him, "You are being under God's penalty and judgment because you are wrong." He wasn't wrong. God was just trying to prepare him. And yet Bildad says something very wise. He says in verse number 7, "Though thy beginning was small." Though thy beginning, before we read on, let's stop right there. He's saying when you were a young man, you had nothing. You were very small. You didn't have cattle. You didn't have sheep. You didn't have children. You had nothing. You 20-year-olds, you're very small today. You don't own a house. You don't own this. You don't own that. You're probably making car payments on a car you can't afford. And everything, you're renting a little one-bedroom apartment. Everything is you have nothing. But look what the rest of the verse says. Yet thy latter end shall be greatly increased. They say that from age 1 to 21, I think it's a little beyond this. Age 1 to 21, you obey what your authority tells you in life. You obey your principal. You obey your teachers. You obey your parents. You obey your grandparents. Just 1 through 21, you're obeying everybody. From 22 to 65, you're doing what you're called to do. And that's the goal in life, to do what you're called to do. Today, I'm asking you, what are you called to do? And get with it and stay with it in the hard times. Stay with it when the stock market is going great. Stay with it when it's down low. Just stay with it. This is such an excellent time to buy stocks. It's an excellent time to buy stocks.
Amen.
But people are selling off. That's when you want to buy stocks. You want to buy stocks when Tesla's low because she's coming back. And then from age 65 to the end, you do what you want to do. But you don't get to do what you want to do early. You're starting off small. Mrs. Treber and I started together our journey 52 plus years ago. And I'll never forget, we rented a one-bedroom duplex. Had a full basement, just one bedroom. And her dad, her mother had passed away, and her dad says, you can have my bedroom suit. And so we took his bedroom suit and I sanded it down and I stained it and painted it, cleaned it all up and got it all ready. And then the kitchen, our kitchen, we didn't have any money. I mean, we had no money. I'll tell you how much money we had. We were going down the road on December the 23rd, 1972, to Elgin, Illinois, about a trip about 45 miles. Our car was sputtering. I was having a hard time and I had to get off the road, and there was a Holiday Inn Express there and the room was $6 a night. And we were opened up envelopes and said, praise God, it's cash. And we had enough cash for that night and the next night. We went to church and that was it. And then we went back home. Our kitchen, my wife had this idea. Remember the 70s, the early 70s when orange was in? One family, it gave us an orange carpet, for shag had to be shag. And you had to rake the shag. You don't know anything about shag, do you, kids? Does anybody remember shag carpet? A lot of old folks in this auditorium today, and you have to rake that carpet with a rake. And we had shag carpet. And everything was done in orange and yellows and mushrooms. It was hideous. I mean, but it looked good. Jim Tucker gave me a piece of plywood he had under the car to catch the oil. And I cut a circle out. I went to the giant hardware store and I found four legs. There was only four left. They're out of stock. They're clearing them out. 15 cents a leg. 15 cents. And I painted that table orange. And she decorated, it was beautiful. Our table cost us 60 cents. 60 cents! We ate off of that table. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our bedroom set cost us nothing. Her dad was throwing it away. We did get a new couch. I want to say it was $198. We got a brand new couch. You know why? Because we're starting off small. That's how you all... Chris's mom and dad, we're glad to see you today. But that's how you started off.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have to get a CPA because I had no wealth. I still don't need a CPA because I still don't have any wealth. But I don't need any. I didn't have anything. I had a college bill I was paying from First National Bank. That's all I had. My father-in-law, prior to that, He called me and said, Jack, I want you to come from college and I want you to spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday with us on Wednesday nights and then go back to college. And he said to me, here's what I want you to do. I thought he probably wants to do all the preaching. No, I didn't think that. He said, Brother Bill, Jack, I'm going to offer you the second grade boys Sunday school class. There's five boys in that class. Boy, I tell you, I was overwhelmed. I had my own Sunday school class. I had five boys. That's amazing. I was so nervous. I studied, I prepared, I painted the table a bright green for that week. Oh, the boys sat around that table and it began to grow. It grew. That's a small beginning. He said, Jack, I'll give you a Sunday school class. I want you to be the janitor and I want you to lead our music. And this is true. He paid me. He's in heaven. God rest his soul. He paid me $25 a week for that. You're supposed to ooh and ah or something. $25 a week. That was it. When we got married, we went up. We had no health insurance, no gas insurance, no gas, a lean expense, nothing. But when we got married, we went up to $65 a week. You want to know why? We were small. Look at the scripture, what it says. The Bible says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. You always start small. My father-in-law, after a few months, he said, I want you to take the buses. We were running 80, I've got the records in my office, I think 80, 82 people, 85 people on four buses. But God began to bless the bus ministry. And we went from four buses to nine buses in 1 year. We went from 80 to 390 some on those buses, and they were growing and it was going. And then went to 400, then went to 500, and the buses were growing. But at the beginning, it started off with just four buses. God's word says in Zechariah, despise not the day of small things. Don't despise these days in your life. If you're not careful, you're going to throw everything away. I find preachers are doing this all the time because they graduate from good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist Bible college like Golden State. And then they find you have to fight for your position. You have to fight to keep the contemporary music out. You have to fight to keep Sunday school in. You have to fight to keep Sunday night in. You have to fight to keep clothes on God's people. You have to fight to keep people in the house of God. Everything's a battle. Everything's a fight. That's the small things. But you stay with the small things. We didn't start with a 3,000 seat auditorium like this and another auditorium that's filled this morning at the other property and buses on that property and buses on this. We didn't start with that. We started with 22 people. Two of those were in the nursery. We started with about a Sunday night crowd of about 18 people, adults. That's what we started with. We didn't own a psalm book. We didn't own a baptistry. We did not own a Lord's table set. We did not own a pew. We didn't own anything. We rented the building over there. But not only do we own that property and the properties, two properties next to it. I was driving by yesterday. I was making visits. And I drove by that. There was a house that was right next door. We sold it in 1981. And they picked it up on a Saturday morning and they moved it down. Empty Montague, it wasn't just a little two-lane road. Montague Expressway, which is now, there weren't those buildings. It was all farmland. They moved it off of Allen Rock. And there, that building, that house has been there since 1981 for 44 years. I took a picture of it yesterday. Those people have no idea that that's a house that they moved in. But that's our house. And that was my office. And that was a school office. And that was all the staff offices. And all of us worked together in that office, that little office building. Hey, I want to tell you something. Those are the days of small things. When we had nothing. When we got psalm books from Bethel Baptist Church, Berean Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, but they're all the same. They're different colors. And we put the binding and we put tape on the binding. If they're red, we put red binding. If they're green, we put green tape to hold them together so we can sing the praises of Zion. That's the small things.
Amen.
Then God begins to bless. You're going to have to grow into your future. If you're a mechanic, grow into that. From your 20s to your 65, growing. There's nothing wrong with being a mechanic. There's nothing wrong with being a police officer. There's nothing wrong with being a computer engineer. There's nothing wrong for being a housekeeper. There's nothing wrong for joining the military. There's nothing wrong for getting in the ministry and serving God a lifetime.
Amen.
But you're gonna have to figure out what you believe. I can guarantee it. You can take it to the bank. Everywhere I go, all over the country, they'll say, your graduates stand out. And they said it last week in Chicago. Said it the week before in wherever I was, Virginia. I forget where I was, but wherever it was. But they said it everywhere, Michigan, I guess, or no, somewhere else. Anyway, but they said it everywhere. Your graduates stand out. Why? Because by God's grace, they get something and they believe it. They don't believe in going to a church and cutting out Sunday night. Oh, we've had a few, yes, but they don't believe in cutting out Sunday school. They don't believe in cutting out Wednesday night. And one and done, and that's it. You're done with the God thing. Go have a whole week to yourself. No, no. I think if you're going to be a carpenter, well, be the best. Build a business. Build a great business. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 90, please. You're listening so well. I'll be done in 2 hours and 45 minutes from now. Psalm 90. You want to grow into your future. I don't know what the future holds, but if you're in the ministry, let God grow it. Let God give you more, not less. If you're a carpenter, let God grow your business and give it your best. You say, well, I'm getting old now. I'm 60, 65. Well, maybe you'll become more of a manager, an overseer. But nowadays, nobody retires at 65. Don't give it up. God's giving you. You finally have something to offer. Brother Tully, I'm thinking of you right now back there. Whatever your age is, and I know what it is, I won't say it, but you're still working. He has got more brain sense now than he's ever had in his life. He would be a fool to put that on the side. He'd be foolish to put it aside. Look what the Bible says about our ages. In chapter 90, Moses was writing about age. And he said, verse number 9, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. You live to be about 70. If by reason of strength there be 80 years, 80 years of age, yet there's strength and labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off when we fly away. God, hold it, we're not done. God says you start off and you live and you think, I'm gonna live to 70 or live to 80. It seems like a long time till you get there. Look what he says, verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Okay, let me stop. If you're gonna live to be 70, you're gonna live 25,550 days. Now, I'm not suggesting you're gonna make it to 70, because many in this room will not. But let's say you make it to 70, and right now you're 65, so go 365 times five, that's about how, you got about 1,500 days left. God's word said, teach us to number our days. I want my day tomorrow to count for God.
Amen.
I want my day Tuesday to count for God and Wednesday to count for God. I'm excited about college days. I'm excited about preaching to these kids and trying to cast a vision for their life that they might get that vision and say, I am coming for 4 years to college and I'm going to get something and leave here and go do something with my life. It may be small. It may be I start off with 22 people, but that's what I'm going to start with. And grow it and grow people. Look what he says. Teach us to number our days. Return, O Lord, how long? And yet repent thee concerning thy servants. Watch this, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early. What's he talking about? Early in life. He's talking about your days. Well, satisfy us early. What's he say? Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. So your 20s, rejoice in the Lord. You get to go to church. Rejoice in your 30s. They get to go to church. You rejoice in your 40s that you're bringing your kids up and they're being raised and now they're getting ready to graduate from high school. And in your mid-40s, you're graduating. In your 50s, they're gone. They're in college. And rejoice all your days. That's what God's word is saying. The Bible says, make us glad all our days and make us glad according to thy days. As thou afflicted us in the years when we have seen evil. Yes, you're going to see evil. Yes, you're going to see difficult times. Yes, you're going to get people, presidents you vote for, that don't get into office. Yes, it's going to be tough. But you want to rejoice all the day long. All the way to the finish line. Whatever that finish line, don't be jumping all over the place. There's something about stability. I was preaching this past week. Girls, I saw you somewhere here, Amy and Heather. I was preaching this past week, and there you are, for Den Carroll. Well, I was preaching. He came to the meeting. Den Carroll's pastored for 43 years in Cicero, Illinois. He's been in the ministry 55 years. We were roommates 55 years ago. Den Carroll's in Cicero. Cicero is the hotbed still of the mafia. They came to him about 35, 40 years ago and said, Pastor, we're happy with you. We just don't like all your preaching. And you're going to change it. And he said, I'm not changing for anybody. And the mafia let him alone. That man has been preaching God's word for 55 years. He and his wife, I saw them this week, they haven't wavered one iota on the Bible, the King James Bible, on the music, on the standards, on the convictions. He just stays the same. A few weeks ago, I was up in Michigan preaching from Tom Harrison. Tom Harrison and I were roommates 55 years ago. And Tom, 54 years ago. And Tom Harrison has been at the same church 43 years, just like Den Carroll. That church is such a solid, good church. Hey, wait a minute. That boy still believes in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, run the buses, Christian school, worldwide missions. He believes the same. He sings out of our psalm book. He hasn't changed for 55 years, and God's just blessed him. Find what you believe and stick with it. Notice what the Bible says. Go back, chapter number of Job, or Job. It's spelled like Job, but it's Job, chapter 8. Let's read Job, chapter 8. Let's read together verse number 7. Job 8, 7. Ready? Begin. Though thy beginning was small. You see, I'm drawing to a close, but as you get old, don't talk that you're getting old. Don't talk about all your medicines. You go to Walgreens, you go to CVS, you go to Walmart, you go to, in the medicine line, there's all ages, but especially old people. And they always have something to say. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm taking this stuff, and I'm taking this to interact with this, and I'm taking this. Don't talk about your medicines. I'll announce all the sick people in our church tonight. I need to do that because our people ought to pray for these people. But don't spend your life from your surgeries. You're going to find that most people don't care anyway. Here is Strauss. Strauss was composing music, serious music, in his 80s. Tennyson wrote Crossing of the Bar when he was 83 years of age. George Bernard Shaw was writing plays in his mid-80s. Webster began the Webster Dictionary at age 70. John Wesley was weary with life at age 85 because he said, I can only preach 3 times a day. I preached my first message every morning at 5 a.m. and people would come to hear him preach. Michelangelo, there's differences of opinion on this. But he painted in the late mid 1500s, the Sistine Chapel. It was up 66 feet, which is nearly a seven-story building. He would walk up those scaffolding every day at age 90. Age 90, and here's the conflict. Some say he laid on his back and painted. Others say he stood and he painted. Whatever, you look at the Sistine Chapel, the beautiful portraits from the 1500s, and they're his paintings. He did that at age 90. He said, because I believe all these years of my life, God has blessed me and given me gifts, and now I can use it for that chapel. Age 90. Stop telling me you're old. And you know, I'm 52 now. Hazel and me, we're having a hard time in life. Hey, don't talk about how old you are. Don't talk, well, my medicine's not working. Phillips Brooks was one of the greatest preachers in the world, and he's still preaching strong at 85. I'm just saying today, don't buy into all this stuff that you're old. Don't be talking about all your surgeries and all your health and all your medicines and I can't work anymore. Yes, you can.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you can.
Yep.
I just saw Dr. Kelly. You have more wisdom now as a doctor at your age, what you are, and you're not old, but you have more wisdom today than you did 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He knows more. Let him use it. I read a poem recently. Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself, that I'm growing old and one day will get old. Keep me from becoming talkative, and particularly from the fatal habit of thinking that I must have an opinion on every subject for every occasion. Stop right there. I'm not done. You don't need to report back to your wife when she tells you one thing and then debate with her over that little issue. She says to you, well, I know your favorite drink is a chocolate chip milkshake. No, it's not. That's not my favorite drink. But she says it is. Let her think it. Let him think it. It goes on, release me from craving to try to straighten out everyone's affairs. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. I ask for grace enough to listen to the tales of others' pains. Help me to endure them with patience, but seal my lips to my own aches and pains. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally it's possible that I may even be mistaken. It's a good one for men. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. But I do not want to become a sour old woman, which is the crowning works of the devil. Make me thoughtful. Help me not to be bossy. And thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end. Don't work yourself all up, folks. So here's a man going in for surgery on his knee. Oh, I had the same surgery. I had the same surgery. I know the pain. You're going to be in pain, pain, pain. You know, some folks don't know what to keep their mouth shut. It's going to be awful. It's just going to be awful. And don't let them get you back to work. This is not an 8 or 10 week. This is a 22 week rehab. You walked in with a cane and you walked out 3 hours later in one day. You're back home. You're not going to need to be off work for 6 months. Sort of like these ladies having these babies nowadays. You're getting 2 and 3 months off. All you do is lay in the bed and have a baby. Brother George knows what I'm talking. His wife got 16 weeks off. He got 26 weeks off. He didn't have the baby. Of course, nowadays, any man can have a baby. You know that's true. God says at the beginning, you have just a table with legs that cost 60 cents. We have a nice kitchen table now, don't we? We have a nice family room table. It's going to do for us till the day we die. We have a nice bed. It's not secondhand from her dad. We have a nice living room. Some of you kids get married and you think you have to have all your parents have the first week. I'm watching 20-year-olds throw their lives away. 30-year-olds throw their lives away. Because they don't understand, you're at the beginning. God works it all out. Well, I'll never own a house. How do you know you're not going to inherit a house? How do you know a man I led to Christ a few years ago, he and his wife were my age, and they never owned a house? And lo and behold, her boss willed him, or her, his house. They got a house in a very expensive neighborhood, in a very expensive city, right here in the Silicon Valley. And they got it for free. Hey, child of God, I don't know all that God has for you. But I do know that the beginning is the early days where you're trying to figure out what you believe, what your values are, what your philosophy is, how you're going to go. And once you figure it out, sink your teeth into it and go with it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, it's an unusual message for a Sunday morning, I know. But it's such an important message. I pray that we'd learn from it. I pray that we learn that these early days are so very important. So many young people are trying to conjure up their own type of church and create it, but they're creating it from something that's proven to be wrong. These easy believism churches have never succeeded. Another one just closed the doors last week. They put on the news that they're selling their property. Because they tried this easy route, and it doesn't work. Speak to our hearts, God, please.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.